My guest today is Jimmy Bogard. Jimmy, how you doing?
Fantastic. Great to be here.
Great. Welcome back to the show. It's been a few years.
That has been a few years, I guess. I think last time it was in Detroit-ish?
Southfield, Michigan, right South, by Detroit.
Okay, that's Absolutely. Detroit. Yeah, that's Detroit. Yeah, sure.
Tell me again, what do you do for a living?
I'm the chief architect at a consulting company called Headspring out of Austin, Texas.
You're also a contributor to open source, right?
Pretty prolific contributor open source, yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
Tell me some of your open source projects.
Well, the most popular one would be AutoMapper.
I've used AutoMapper.
Yes, I think many people have. Some of them actually enjoy it, and I do get my share of people that don't like it so much, but that's probably my most popular
one.
What
does AutoMapper do?
It's a pretty silly library. I have a complex object, probably like an entity framework entity,
okay,
that I want to map to some kind of simpler object, DTO, that I'm using for maybe MVC application or for a web API to then present to the web or to send over the wire for JSON.
Okay.
And so it just maps from one object to the other automatically. That's
so the kind of transformation from
the auto part. Yeah,
one object model to another object model.
Exactly.
And it does it if it's all the same property names, it does it pretty much automatically.
Yeah, it all started just 100 lines of code for a project we're working on where we're going to have to write that same stupid code 1,000 times,
right.
And like there's just no way we want to build, maintain, and test that code over and over again.
Right.
So just build something that kind of does some sensible defaults and then kind of took off from there.
Tell me a little about the experience of writing and maintaining an open source project.
Well, it's pretty old open source project now. It's about 8 or 9 years old at this point.
Do you remember back the day then you first said, let's use this and solve a problem for our company, but let's make it available to the world?
That was a question we didn't answer because, I mean, initially, like I said, it was just a couple hundred lines of code inside a project, and we said, this seems like it has nothing to do with our client stuff. What do we do with this? So we had to go through the options, should I create a product out of it? Which would be pretty funny because maybe we'd have like the first microtransaction mapper, like every single map is 15 cents or something like that. That didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, or you could sell a license for $25.
Or sell it, productize it. But
yeah.
All of those seemed like work. What was easy was just taking the code and putting it somewhere else on a repository.
Okay, was it GitHub at that time? Or was it
GitHub did not exist at the time.
Oh, wow.
So this is before that.
It's GitHub.
So originally it was on... Google Code. Yeah, it started on Google Code with Subversion.
Okay.
Then moved to CodePlex, and then moved to GitHub,
okay,
finally. So it's made a few journeys over the years.
And it was... originally it was just you, or just you and a couple of folks on your team, right?
It was just me for probably...
just you, just maintaining this thing.
Like 5 years or so.
And what have people would send you requests and say, why doesn't it do this?
Pretty much.
And you would say, I don't know, let's make it happen.
That's pretty much it. Most of the time it was client projects. It was just...
Oh, I see.
We would...
So you were dog fooding this thing.
We'd keep going from project to project, like, oh, it'd be nice if it did this thing.
Okay.
Of course, there were mistakes made over the years. There are some things I put in there that I regretted, and
let's share some dirty laundry.
One of the probably the biggest one was, and I knew it was a bad idea at the time, but I didn't have an alternative for us. It used to have the ability to do a lot of string formatting, so it'd take some numerical value and then also do some formatting.
Okay,
but it turns out you really want to do that work closer to when you're about to display the value, not when you're kind of mapping the value.
Okay.
So we were doing crazy things like formatting HTML values in there as well. Like,
I've seen stored procedures, for example, that return HTML.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's generally not a good idea.
And it felt worse and worse and worse over time.
Yeah.
So eventually I worked up enough courage to start to deprecate and obsolete those things and just completely remove them and say, it was a bad idea.
What was the reaction to that when you actually took away some features?
Well, I tried to do it very deliberately and at least provide some other options. Like, if you're still using this, here's some other things you can do, but it was just a really bad idea.
Okay.
It was also just killing performance because it would have to run through the string functions every single time. So just not my smartest move.
At what point did it become really a collaboration between you and the community, or did it ever? Did this become... Are there other contributors besides you now after all these years?
There is. I would say that I'm not even the largest contributor at this point. I mean, total commits, yes, but...
Tell me about that first non-Jimmy committer.
I was super excited about it.
Yeah.
I didn't really like the implementation of the feature, but I was just so happy to have someone want to contribute back.
All right.
So I just took it in.
He did a pull request, and you immediately said yes.
I don't think that we had pull requests back then, even. It was like... there's either CodePlex or whatever the thing you do in Google Code, which is probably a zip file.
Okay. So he just sent you the changed code.
Like, here's the...
Said, what do you think?
Yeah, here's my changed code.
Did he talk to you about it first, or did he just make the change and send it to you?
No, just make the change and send it to me. And
you liked it, so you checked it
like,
out.
Yeah, like, oh, checked it in. I've had to learn to be much more selective, not because people send bad code, but I have to make sure I'm maintaining the focus of the library, not just keep adding things for the sake of adding things. So I try to make sure that everything that's in there are things that we actually use. Okay. 'Cause one of the things I find is I'll have people kind of do a drive-by pull request.
Right.
And then if sometime in the future there's something wrong with it, they're gone.
Right.
I am on the hook maintaining it.
Have to make sure you understand what they
did. I have to understand it and the motivation and the reasoning and the problem it's trying to solve. If I don't buy into the problem and the solution, then I just reject them and say, thank you. I very much like to have discussions online before people start to have code. So that's what I really try to do now, is open GitHub issues for discussions, and then we kind of arrive at a solution, and then someone submits it. And that's why I'm not the one that's mainly writing submissions or pull requests anymore, is because we try to do a lot more upfront in the issues so that anyone could then go in and
add. Are you still the main moderator of those and decision maker?
I am.
Benevolent dictator for life of
AutoMapper? I am, but we have a couple other now that have submitted enough things over the years that I've brought in and said, you know, you can close issues. Oh, the other thing, by the way, that was important is to have someone that was just ferocious about closing issues. Yeah. I would keep issues open for months and months and months, but because, you know, if they took time to look at them, just be like, I want to give this person the time they deserve because they took the time. And now I have a contributor that just says, this question is better for Stack Overflow, closed. Which is great because most of the questions are like that. And then you can go to Stack Overflow and get fake internet points for those answers.
Which you can spend at Stack Overflow.
That's right. Yes.
So where does it stand now? Is it this been what you said 9 years?
Eight or 9 years.
Is it baked? Are you done? Are there actually people still adding features to it? Or?
Yeah. There's always kind of more scenarios that we were looking at. I mean, one of the past probably 3 years has seen the biggest upheaval in the code base. It started with supporting a feature that I'm really excited about, which is instead of going from like entity framework DB context, going to your entities and then mapping from your entities to the DTOs, what we added was the ability to go from straight from the DB context to your DTOs, skipping the entities altogether.
I see that a lot, that the people are flattening that interior.
Yes, layer. Yes. And so what we do is, you can do this with entity framework already. You can use the .select method for link projection, and it will skip your entire entity model and just go straight from kind of the DB context right to your DTO. Yeah. And so we plugged into that same sort of thing, so it will effectively do the same thing and be about as quick as you can possibly get for mapping something, because it goes straight from SQL to your DTO.
Yeah, I guess I've written a lot of these entier architecture where every layer has its own object model, and I always transform to it, and more than half the time, the schema of these objects are identical in multiple layers, that I'm just duplicating it, and we're just transferring for no really immediate benefit at all.
So I
think it's argued that someday I might move this entire layer to another server and scale it independently, but that's really rare.
That's never happened. And the other really big thing we did was we completely rewrote the internals of AutoMapper to increase performance. So it was like, I think it's between 50 and 100 times faster than it was before.
That's impressive.
And the big thing we switched to is we had to have a more deliberate configuration and execution steps. So before, anyone could change configuration at any time, which meant I couldn't optimize the mapping that it would do. So that was another huge breaking change. I said, you can't just kind of configure willy-nilly, you have to have a explicit configuration step. And we take that in, take the configuration and build out a explicit, like, this is exactly what you configured, and so this is the exact mapping algorithm that you need, and then compile that, and that compiled code is now the thing that runs. So now it runs super fast. The only way you can make it faster is removing features, which I don't really want to do. So
yeah, I've talked to guys on language teams, then they I didn't really think about this before, but removing any features is a huge deal.
Yes.
And that's why computer languages evolve so slowly, that you think, why isn't database access built into C#?
Yeah.
And it's, one of the reasons is because someday it may not be appropriate and they want to take it out, and people will scream bloody murder when you remove a feature. Like you saw with when you started removing.
Yeah.
The ability to do formatting.
Yeah.
There had to be some people that were really upset about, I use that, I depend on that feature. How dare you?
And, well, we depended on the feature too. So it's even like our projects, we had to decide like that.
So now you have to re-architect something because of this change in the tool that you rely on. And that's a pain point.
Mm-hmm. These weren't easy choices, but it came down to just trying to keep with the spirit of the library, but then making it as fast as possible. And then anything else that we wanted to take away, could make it faster, but then be like something very fundamental that it does that wouldn't be able to do anymore. So,
what's the future of AutoMapper? Is there some big stuff on the horizon or what?
Probably the biggest thing I've had people ask a lot is to go backwards. You go from entity to GTO. People want to do the other direction.
Oh, okay.
It's something that I don't generally do in my projects for most of them, but then I've noticed it started coming up more and more for us. And so supporting that is more difficult than you might think, because it's just you're going from a superset to a subset of data, going from the other direction to a more complex model.
You've got missing information.
There's missing information that's more complex, so you're going potentially traversing child objects to set things. So it's a little bit more complicated. So that's the next really big thing we're working on, is getting that actually functioning, so people will stop complaining about it being a missing feature once and for all. Hopefully.
Where do people find AutoMapper?
You can go to the website, which is automapper.org. And of course, it's on NuGet.
You can right click and say add package or manage NuGet packages and search for AutoMapper.
You don't really have to search, because it's like on the top page there. It's right there. Okay. All right. I paid some people in NuGet to make sure my library. No.
That sounded really believable.
I paid them lots of Stack Overflow points.
Yeah. Oh, I got to get me some of those. Yeah. I'll stop living in that John Skeets shadow after a while. and you have an online presence also.
Yeah, you can find me online at jimmybogard.com. And I used to have another blog at another site, which is most of my work. But jimmybogard.com is where I am now.
Jimmy, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Well, thanks for having me, David. Before I met technology, I actually had a lot of friends, but not anymore.